I'll be honest, it shook me to the core. I look through this congregation here, and I know at least 12 people themselves has been shook to the core. Things that change and alter your life, you'll never be the same. Let's just go to John chapter 19. We're going to read some scripture right here. John chapter number 19, and we're going to look at such a thing in the Bible, such an instance in the Bible. And we're going to look and just see what the Lord can give me here. I know you ate so much, I won't keep you but maybe 2 hours.
You preach, we'll settle it.
All right. You heard him. Now he does lie, right? John chapter number 19, looking at verse 25, the Bible reads, now, there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleophas and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by him, whom he loved, he said unto his mother, "Woman, behold thy son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold thy mother." And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. Now we're going to preach just a few minutes here, if we can, the Lord willing. What do you do when you get something you don't expect from God? What do you do when you get something you don't expect from God? Our Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. Thank you, dear Lord, for allowing us to be here today. What a blessing to be with these fine folks. Lord, we ask that your hand just rain upon them. Let us preach in the power of the Holy Spirit. Let us hear in the power of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, let us move and react in the power of the Holy Spirit. You will be blessed us and be pleased. We love you and thank you and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Now, in the midst of Calvary, with all that was going on at Calvary, Jesus turns his head and sees his mother and the other women. He also sees the disciple whom he loved. Don't you love the humility of John?
Yeah.
He was writing this, but he didn't put his own name in there, just the disciple whom he loved. I like that part about it.
Yeah.
I believe John was what Jesus would have, a best friend on the earth. John was that man. He was that best friend. He was with Jesus. He loved Jesus, and Jesus loved him. And Jesus said to his mother, "Behold thy son." Now, something completely happens to John that he was not prepared for. John didn't go to Calvary to be a caregiver. John standing at the bottom of the cross of Calvary, and he says, "Behold thy mother." Do you realize what that means? From now on, if Mary ever gets a bite of food in her mouth, it's going to come by the hand of John.
Right.
If Mary would ever have another piece of clothes to put on, it will come by the hand of John.
Well.
What a huge responsibility. This is not just for a week. This is not just for a month. This is not for a year. This is going to be for the entire remaining life of Mary.
Yeah.
What a responsibility. John was the only disciple that stood at the cross. The rest scattered. Imagine that. You would have might have thought that he would have got a special blessing. Maybe he would have got some magical powers from Jesus. Maybe he would have got fortune and fame. But what he got was Mary for the rest of his life, her life. What do you do when you get something from God that you don't expect? I've been on fire departments. I was on rescue squads for 16 years. I've seen a lot of things. A lot of mangled bodies. I've seen things that shouldn't have been seen. I've seen burnt bodies. I've seen this and this. But this year, as I was working a little part-time job that I have, I'm driving this truck from Gent to Shady Springs. I see two cars sitting in the middle of the road, one back. And, you know, driving the truck, you're thinking, what in the world is going on now? You see it all. And I can see these two arguing in the middle of the road. And I'm thinking, well, she rear-ended him. And they get to arguing. He leans out and he's got a pistol. And he pulls it and he shoots this woman 5 times directly right in front of him. I'm sitting watching this thing happen. It stuns me so much that I get in shock and I jump out of the truck and I run. He gets in his car and takes off. And as soon as I get to this woman, I still see the sight. I can still smell and I can still hear. And I put my hands on the side of her neck and I can feel the tenseness in her body as it just releases. I have not gotten over that day.
Yeah.
I prayed that morning when I got out of bed. I'm thinking about who I need to go visit and messages that I'm trying to get. Why in the world would God bring such a thing in my life? Now, I'm struggling today. The nightmares, I can't get out of the nightmares. It's every day and every night. I'm dealing with this. It just got... Well, this will probably be the third day that I got to preach two messages on a Sunday. Because I'm under so much strain of trying to deal with this that it wears me out before I lose my concentration. I lose everything about it and everything just goes blank. And God's got a reason and God's got a purpose. I know this. But what do you do when you get something unexpected from God? Do you quit? Do you throw up your hands? Do you hold your breath? Do you just run out in the woods and just cry? Or you dig in and push forward and say, God's got something planned for this. Do we just stop and say, why, God, why did you do this to me? What do you do when you get something unexpected from God? I had a dear friend, Brother Mark Cheryl. Now, many of y'all might know Herman Davis, the man of God, preached for over 50-some years. Got in an accident on Christmas Day in his driveway. Hurt his wife. Herman Davis never was right after that moment. I'm thinking, why in the world would this happen to a saint of God like Herman? And it got Herman to the place where I heard him pray a prayer that I've never heard Herman pray. I got so close to Herman when he was praying that the building actually shook. God got him to a place where he could start praying like he needed to pray. I think of a friend of mine named Dale Vance. Most of y'all might know Brother Dale Vance. His wife had a 7-pound tumor. Now, they was saved at an early age and went to Christian school and went to Crown Bible College. Right out of Crown Bible College, they started into the ministry, going to churches, preaching all over the place. And all of a sudden, Rachel's got this 7-pound tumor.
Right.
Why? Unexpected. They didn't have no idea what was going on. They took the tumor out. They said she was cancer-free. And it wasn't long until she started getting sick. The Lord took Rachel on to heaven. What do you do when you get something unexpected from God? What happens? Do we just quit or do we push on? Jesus, John had an unexpected task that he wanted John to do. Think about this. John was a fisherman. John was a pastor. John was a disciple. John was an apostle. John was a writer. John was a friend. When it comes to the gospel, John is the only eyewitness of the crucifixion. What John gives us wasn't secondhand or hearsay, but eyewitness accounts. What John gives us, he saw in person. What John gives us, he heard in person. What John gives us, he felt. In person. Oh, my lands. 21 chapters in the book of John. 7 of them are dedicated to the cross of Calvary. Consumed with Calvary. He didn't give us the genealogy of Jesus. He didn't give us a record of the birth of Jesus. But he gave us 1/3 of the gospel directly to Calvary. Can I say it this way? A familiar place.
Yeah.
I haven't been to Bahamas, but I've been to Calvary. Hey, I ain't been to Hawaii, but I've been to Calvary. I ain't been to California, but I've been to Calvary. Hey, I ain't been to Montana, but I've been to Calvary. Amen. Hey, that's a familiar place. I know about this place called Calvary. Oh, I love the familiarity of Calvary. John walked with Jesus in person. John sailed the seas with Jesus in person. John, think about it. John laid his head on the breast of Jesus in the upper room. Laid his head, heard the heartbeat of pure love.
Yeah.
Oh, my land. Now, as he stands in the long shadow of the cross, seeing Jesus battered and suffering, and he hears seven things from the lips of Jesus. Oh, what statements this was. I'll go over them real quick. Luke 23, verse 24. Luke 23, 24 says a statement of forgiveness. And Jesus looked at his accusers and says, Father, forgive them.
Yeah.
Luke 23, verse 43 says, it's a statement of salvation. He said unto the thief, today thou shalt be with me in paradise.
Amen.
Matthew 27, 46, a statement of anguish. Jesus cries out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? John 19, 28, a statement of suffering. He cried out, I thirst.
Yeah.
John 19, 30, a statement of victory. Jesus makes a powerful statement. He says, it is finished.
Yeah.
Luke 23, 46, a statement of contentment as he looked into the face of God and says, I commend unto thee my spirit. Now, and I jumped over this and right here that we see here in the midst of all those statements that he was making on the cross of Calvary. He comes over here and he says to Mary, behold thy son. And he looks at John and says, behold thy mother.
Yeah.
What a statement that is. And I'm going to get to something that the Lord showed me there on that statement right there. You know, look at John. John didn't record the veil rending in the temple. He didn't record the earthquake. He didn't record the ground breaking and the rocks busting open. He didn't record the centurion believing that Jesus was the Son of God. John didn't write about the suicide of Jesus. But these three verses, the Lord would not let him go. Amen. He says, I want you to put these three verses into the scriptures. All that other stuff is important, but I want you to record, Mary, behold thy son.
Yeah.
Behold thy mother.
Yeah.
Man, what do you get when you get something unexpected from God? Imagine the pain and the suffering. Jesus turns his head with a blood-soaked head and with a crown of thorns, and he sees his mother and he sees John, and with the same lips he spoke the world into existence. With the same lips he brought Lazarus back to life. With the same lips that he calmed the troubled waters. Now he's looking at John. What is he going to get from Jesus? The only one left standing at the foot of the cross. Oh, it's got to be something good that he's going to get. He's going to get a special blessing. He's going to get that special power. He's going to get that special pulpit. Oh, something the Lord's going to show him here. And he looks at Mary who's watching her son suffering, and he looks at him and says, behold thy mother.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can I say stop? Stop here. A lot of us don't do what we're supposed to do in church because we think we're bigger than what we should be. Way too important to do certain jobs in the church. Oh, driving that bus with all these kids on, that's just beneath me. I got better work to do.
Hello.
Behold thy mother.
Yeah.
Behold thy mother. Mary's watching her son suffering and dying. Jesus was 100% God, we know this, but Mary carried him for 9 months, fed him, clothed him, and by this time, Joseph was gone. Her son was about to be gone. Mary had no inheritance. Can I tell you something right here? This is a picture, to me, of redemption. You're like, how do you get redemption? Of behold thy mother. Behold thy son. Mary, in this time, they couldn't redeem themselves. A woman can redeem themselves. You ever read the book of Ruth? It tells you she couldn't redeem herself. She needed a kinsman redeemer. Amen. Hey, what Jesus was doing was giving her a kinsman redeemer. Guess what he gave me on February 7th, 1997? He gave me a kinsman redeemer. I can redeem myself. I'm so unworthy, so unfit. But on that day, he sent a kinsman redeemer my way.
Amen.
Woo!
Yeah.
Are you having fun?
Yes, sir. Yeah, preach, buddy.
My. Jesus turns to John. I get to thinking. I'm just putting myself in John's shoes. If I was there.
Go on.
Man, where's Peter?
Yeah.
Where's Mark?
Yeah.
Where's Matthew at? Where's Luke? Man, I'm the only one standing. I'm the man.
Yeah.
Jesus turns to John. What's he going to get? Maybe he's going to get to preach at the church at Pentecost. Maybe the pastor of the church at Jerusalem. John gets his first calling into the ministry here at Calvary.
Right.
Behold thy mother. I don't believe John went to the cross that day thinking he was going to be a caregiver when he left. I'm just saying. A lot of you folks here woke up this morning. Your lives is going to change in such a way you didn't expect these things going to hit your life. You wasn't planning on these things hitting your life. You didn't want them in your life, but here they are and you can't do a thing about it. What are you going to do when you get something unexpected from God? I don't believe at all John was ready for that. The first pastoring that John was ever going to do wasn't a church of 3,000. But one broken-hearted woman.
Exactly. Yeah.
You would have thought at least he would have got the church at Pentecost. You would have thought he would have got more than that than what Peter did. Peter denied him and everything.
Yeah.
I wrote it down like this. Adam got the garden. John got Mary. Noah got the ark. But John got Mary. Moses got the nation to lead. But John got married. David got the throne. But John got married. Solomon got the temple. But John got married. Peter got Pentecost. But John got married. James got the church of Jerusalem. But John got married. Paul got the Gentile nation. But John got married. What do you do when you get something unexpected from God?
Yeah.
Yeah. You prayed, you've been faithful, you're concerned, but what was handed to you was not what you're wanting. This here was my introduction.
Yeah.
Three quick points here, we're going to be done. All right, somebody say amen.
Amen.
Three things we need to know about when this happens. Number one, the importance of the task. The importance of the task. Now imagine what's going on here. Jesus is hanging on the cross. The religious crowd is mocking him. The devil and the demons of hell are on him and just tearing him apart. And after Jesus is drinking that cup that he asked to be passed by him, he's redeeming all of mankind. In the midst of Calvary, Jesus pushes the button on redemption just for a second. Behold thy mother. Must have been a pretty important thing for Jesus to pause Calvary to put him in a work. Oh, it must be a pretty important thing for Jesus to halt what he's doing in this universe to put you on a bus. Oh, it must be a pretty important thing for God to pause everything to put you in the music business. Oh, it must be a pretty important task for Jesus to stop everything to put you in that Sunday school room, to put you behind the pulpit, to put you as an usher in the church. Oh, it's a big deal when God pauses everything to put you in that job.
Amen. That's good for you.
We need to realize the importance.
Yes, sir.
Of the task.
You're helping us preach.
You're saying, oh, that works good for them. But that don't cover me. Well, I'm going to tell you, it must be a big deal if God puts you in that Wednesday night class. It's a big deal for Him to put you in the choir. Youngins, it must be a pretty big deal for God to lay up on somebody's heart to run a van and pick you up and bring you into the house of God and put a teacher down there. God's behind every bit of that. That just didn't happen on its own. That's by the will of God. Must be a pretty important thing.
Yes, amen.
You might say, well, it's not fair. God gave me cancer. Must have been pretty important. God called you worthy enough to give it to you.
That's right.
You might say it's not fair, Philip, that your Jeep would wreck and you wouldn't be able to walk again. Must not be fair. Must be pretty important. God allowed it to happen in your life, buddy.
Yeah.
You might say, I can't believe Jesus gave me this heart condition. Must be pretty important. God gave it to you.
Yeah.
Can I tell you something? Nothing happens to us that don't cross the desk of the Lord and He okays it.
Amen.
You understand? All things work.
Yeah.
For the good, for them to love Him. You know that, don't you? There's nothing that happens in our life that Jesus didn't already know about it, and He already okayed it, and He's got a reason, He's got a purpose for us. It's the task that He's put before us.
Yeah.
Can't believe God took my loved one. Must have been pretty important.
Yeah.
Maybe wanting to be in heaven with them right now. Oh, it must have been a big deal to count us worthy for these things. That's the task. Number two, look at the trust. John could have said, I'm too important for this job. Oh, it's just beneath me. I'm no caregiver. I don't know how to do this. I don't have the income. We give all kinds of excuses why we don't.
Right. You're right.
I guarantee you, let me put it this way. If you can come up with five excuses why you don't, you better get in it. Amen. The devil creates excuses. He's a father of excuses.
Yeah.
I've always wondered why the holes are still in the hands of Jesus. And some would say, well, that's a reminder. No, I believe it. He'll cup it like that, and our excuse is going to run through the holes like water. It don't hold no water with Jesus. Amen. Hey, if He called you into it, it's a task. He's going to trust you with it.
Amen. Yes, amen.
Maybe he couldn't trust Peter with such a task.
Yeah.
As behold my mother.
Yeah.
Something was up with James that he didn't trust.
Right.
Mary with James. He didn't trust Mark. He didn't trust Luke. Something was going on right there. But John, he seen John, the one faithful, the one standing there, the one still in the midst of the cross of Calvary, and he could trust John to get the job done. If I was to ask you right now, can Jesus trust you at the task He put you in? You halfway do it? Do you half-heartedly do it? Do you say, oh, I don't want to get involved with that? Oh, that takes up too much. Can Jesus trust you here today? That's a yes or no answer. You can shake your head. Jesus already knows the answer. Can He trust you?
Come on. Yes, amen.
He'll never use anybody He cannot trust.
Right.
Peter?
Yeah.
James? Matthew? Mark, can He trust you? I want to be found in the place where God can trust me.
Yes, sir.
Trust me with His Word. Trust me with the church. Trust me with the things that He entrusted me with. I want to be the one that He can trust me with. Then you had the task. You got the trust, but now you got the test. John had something in his that he needed, or something he had too much of in his life. A lot of times things come in our life because we got too much of something or not enough of something, and He'll bring us to where we got to change our life.
Yes.
Everybody knows Brother David Nix.
Right.
Me and Brother David talked a long time, and when David first got into ministry, I'm going to tell you something. David was, he was the man. They wanted him everywhere, at every revival, every camp meeting. David was the man. They was whispering David's name everywhere when he got into the ministry. He was the man that was happening at the time. He was the one that everybody wanted. And David said, I can get my ego getting to growing. I didn't want to go to the small churches no more. I just wanted the big ones. And along come Rebecca.
Yeah.
Into his life.
Yeah.
A daughter with cerebral palsy. He said, I thank God every single day for Rebecca in her cerebral palsy.
Yeah.
Brought David down, he's humbled down to where God can use him now. He was getting to the point where he couldn't be used, and God brought him down where he can be used for His glory.
Yeah.
The test. I had the pleasure of going and seeing John L. Rice one time, long time ago. And he's a storyteller. Man, that guy could tell some stories. He was telling a story about morning glories. Hey, he always wanted to go to one of these ranches and work a ranch, do a cattle drive. You know how they do that in Oklahoma? They'll drive cattle for a good ways to market and stuff. He said, I always wanted to do this. Since I was a kid, I wanted to be a cowboy. His church, he talked about it so much, his church bought him a 2-week vacation to such a ranch. He's going to drive cattle. So you go out there and the foreman says, y'all go down to the corral, we're going to run these horses out there, you got to pick you up a horse, you're going to be with that horse for 2 solid weeks, day and night. So he went down and opened up the corral door and said, all them horses started coming out there. He said, all of a sudden out bust old Blackie. He said, that thing was just a prancing through the lot and no other horse can get near him. He said, I want that. Foreman said, you don't want that, that's morning glory. He said, I want that. And he said, the sun would hit it, that thing would just glimmer. He said, well, if you want him, go ahead and take him. He saddled him up and got used to him, put the bridle on him. They're going to do a 10-mile ride first day to get used to that animal. He said, man, we're going down the first 5 miles. No other horse is going to pass me. One will growl up beside me, no morning glory take off. He said, man, this is my horse. 6-7 miles into it, the thing started loping a little bit. Horses started passing him. He's getting him up. The thing started getting slower. So he got to the end of the 10 miles. He's walking that horse. He ended up walking 10 miles all the way back. Couldn't ride him. Foreman comes to him and says, we call it morning glory for a reason. See, they come out the gate. Boy, that thing's on fire. Boy, then all of a sudden it'll die out and set down on you. Can I tell you something? We got a lot of morning glories in our church. You come out the gate wide open and the bus ministry wide open and preaching wide open and teaching, and after a while you get the drag in your feet. Next thing you know, you're somebody walking you around.
Yeah.
Yeah. We don't need no morning glories in our church. Amen.
Amen.
Down there at Sweeneysburg, down there at New Prospect Church, they had a man die in the service. The ambulance driver came in. He had to check 3 people to find the one that died in service. We don't need no morning glories.
Amen.
We got something to be excited about. We got the living Savior. We got the Word of God. We've got a hope in Jesus Christ coming soon. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I didn't tore mine all apart. I got pieces hanging off of it. I'm trying to be good. Everybody done the 8, they're a full, they don't want to. So we're just going to be good. The test. What would be your test? What would be your test in your life? Would you pass the test if God gave you a test right now? I'm talking about in your service, in your daily walk. I'll be honest about it, and this might hurt your feelings, and you might think I'm lying because you listen to your pastor and everybody lies.
Yeah.
Not everybody in here is perfect.
Right.
You find that perfect church, you're already in glory. Amen. We all have room to grow. We all have things we need tested and tried in our life. I'm going to tell you, we all need a lot of help.
Yes, amen.
What John had in his life or needed was being tested at the bottom of the cross of Calvary.
Yes.
When Jesus looks down, behold thy mother. Whatever was in John's life, whatever John needed, Jesus was taking care of it right there.
Yes.
Can I say something? John could have said, pass it on. I'll pass. I don't want nothing to do with that. That's too much trouble. I'd have to give up too much of my time to do something like that. But he accepted that. Look what the Bible said. Only in our verses of Scripture right here. Let me get back here to it. Verse 27, then say he to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home.
Right.
He accepted the job that Jesus gave him.
Oh, yeah.
I think he passed the test. He wrote the Gospel of John. He wrote 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. He wrote the book of Revelation. John was allowed to see things that no other man had ever seen before. John saw that holy city. When John saw that holy city descending out of heaven like a bride adorned for, he seen every one of us in there. Amen. Hey, he seen me. He seen you. He seen the glory of God. And oh, he seen that time when Jesus said he's going to wipe away all tears. There's going to be no more sorrow, no more crying, no more death. John was allowed to see all that. Why? Why, John? Because, behold, thy
That's
mother.
That's good.
Such a small task. Such a small, insignificant thing. Behold, thy mother. John received that challenge from the Lord. Didn't take it lightly, took her into his house, and he took her as his own mother.
Yeah.
And look what John was allowed to do. If John didn't receive that test from Jesus, I don't believe he'd have wrote anything in that Bible. We'd be here saying, wasn't there another one? What was his name? I don't believe he'd have been recognized. I don't think he'd went no farther. He'd have been like Bartholomew. He'd have been like one of these other ones that didn't have much to do. Because of that one little thing.
Think about that. That's good.
Behold, thy mother. If you're here today, I don't know where you stand with the Lord. Can I tell you, there's a lot of religious people in our churches.
Yeah.
And can I say it this way, and I'm not trying to be mean, just you saying you're saved don't make you saved.
Right.
I can go to all the world. I'm right with the Lord. I'm saved. Are you? I'm not saved because I say I'm saved.
Right.
I'm saved because the Holy Spirit says I'm saved.
Right.
He bears witness with me that I am a child of God.
Yes,
and I tell you, when I became a child of God, my walk changed.
Yes, it did.
I sure am glad my talk did too.
Yes.
Your walk will be different. If you say you're saved and you're still walking the same path, hanging out with the same boneheads that you used to, you might need to come and get you a dipper full of what I'm offering you today.
Right.
If you leave this room right now in the condition you are, would you go to heaven or hell? It's a big decision. The Bible's unfolding before our very eyes. It's an exciting time that we're living in. I'm waiting for the trump of God. I'm ready to go home. Mark, I'm done here. You don't warm me out.
I'm going to ask you, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with your task? What are you going to do about your test? He spoke this morning. He spoke this morning and moved on our heart. We was called this morning to not to forget to remember. That's what we told this morning. Now we was told there ain't nothing too little. Everything means something. Let's stand together. You mind the Lord this morning or this afternoon. Don't lose this opportunity. Don't misplace this opportunity to mind God. If you're not saved, we invite you to Christ. We invite you to come to Him. If you're walking afar off, we invite you to get closer. The little things. Well, I don't believe taking care of mama. was a little thing. It was a big thing. Wow. Wow. May God help us today. Before he comes, but as long as we're here, we got work to do. Everybody in here's got work to do. It's not going to be too little a job, it's not going to be too greater a job. It's going to be our job. Anybody going to do it for us, it's going to be our job. Where John said, somebody come help me. He done what was asked him. Think about it. Let's sing, Clark. We know the song. Let's sing.